Well, thank you for that, and thank you for the support that you are giving these kids because and the adults, because holy cow, this is going to be an amazing opportunity, And I am looking forward to hearing stories. And so over the next couple of weeks when they come back, I'm going to ask I'm not going to ask Brian and Laura. I'm going to ask all of our youth, all of our young adults who are traveling to spend a little time up here and share what God is doing in their lives through this experience. Okay, through this experience. Okay, awesome, awesome. All right, today in and we're going to open up scripture. Okay, we're still walking through the story. We're just jumping around a little bit more. Okay, we heard last week about Peter and John, right? And they were going and just doing the thing they know to do, and they were stopped, they asked, they had some intentionality, they spoke truth into the lives of, into the life of this lame beggar. And the beggar had some expectations, and God just blew those expectations out of the water, right? I mean, everybody goes into a scenario with an expectation, right? Everybody goes into something expecting. But when we trust our God, that's going to blow that expectation out of the water. We know that our weak minds can't fathom the greatness of God and the love that he has for us. I mean, I know the love that I have for my children. But we can't fathom the love that Christ has for us. Okay, so we know the expectations are going to be blown out of the water. So that's when I think about life. I'm like, well, I have these hopes, I have these expectations, and I'm just like praying, God, but destroy those expectations because you have something better in mind. And so it's going to be awesome. So we heard about that, okay? We're going to move along, right? This is now moving along in our story. We're going to be in Acts chapter 9, and I invite you to open your scriptures because we're just going to read through a section of that scripture. Okay, Acts chapter 9. And this is after the church had kind of like there was this explosive growth, the move of the Spirit filling the believers, thousands coming to the Lord, thousands coming to know Jesus as their Savior. And these were Jewish citizens who had kind of grown up with the law and the Pharisees and going to synagogue and hearing the stories, and now they see that fulfillment in Christ. But how many people can say that when you have great successes, there's usually somebody there who's like really anti? Like, we're doing great things over here, but somebody's on the other side saying, not according to me, and the harder you push, the harder I'm going to push. Okay? And that's kind of what we see in Saul. So we're going to read about Saul. So let me read for a little bit. Again, Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest anyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is indeed the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they asked? And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests? Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. After a while, some of the Jews plotted together to kill him. They were watching for him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him, but Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, some of the other believers lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the city wall. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, Lord, your voice. And Father, we pray that your voice would be heard today as we pore over your scriptures and look for what you're trying to tell us, Father. We know that you can speak to us through others. You can speak to us directly in that small voice or in a loud voice. Father, help us to hear you today. Help us to understand you better, and we give you glory in that. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Excellent story, right? Love that history. I love it. Okay. Here you've got this guy that's completely 180 degrees against the way. I don't think they called it Christianity at that point. I think that's later is when we hear about the people in this city where that's where the term Christian comes from. So this is just followers of the way, followers of Christ. Absolutely against it. Right? To the point here, listen, to the point, uttering threats and was eager to kill them. This wasn't just silence them. This was to silence them forever. Fervently, actively seeking ways to destroy the church that Christ built. To the point where I'll go, send me. We hear that a lot, right? Here I am, Lord, send me. I'll go until, this is what Saul said. I'll go. You need somebody to go murder people? Me. I will do it. Give me your permission. I need letters that say this is okay. Let's go. And yet, when you think about what we read on a daily basis, how much of it was written by this guy? How much of it was written by this guy? Absolutely amazing story. I have a few points that I want to share. Okay, and then we're going to have a time of discussion, and I've asked a few folks to lead some discussion. Lucas, I've asked Lucas to lead discussion. Becky, I've asked you to lead discussion, and then Anna, right, and Tom are going to lead some discussion. So we'll have maybe 1, 2, 3 tables just in the back, and we want to hear from you. Or if you don't want to talk, we would love you to hear from others. Because it's not just about up here and what is said. It's about what God is saying to you right now. Okay? So here's my first point. God can use whomever he wants to accomplish his purpose. That was the first thing I thought of when I read this story. God can use whomever he wants to accomplish his purpose. Okay? Saul, a man whose reputation preceded him, known for his violence against the followers of Christ. And God says, who's going to do my work? That guy. Crazy. God can do amazing things with whomever and whatever he wants. Okay? You need evidence of that? There was a donkey in the Old Testament who was used by God to deliver. I mean, let's be realistic here. God has done this in the past in crazy ways. We should never be amazed. We should never be like, what is going on when God does what he wants to do? Saul was God's chosen instrument. So one of the questions I have for us today is, how have you seen God use unlikely instruments to accomplish his will? When have you seen God use, I put it in quotes, unlikely instruments to accomplish his will? I think we share those stories. I think we share those stories because what you've seen and what I've seen are different, but how God works is not. And the more we share and the more we know, the more we're going to bring glory and honor to the Lord. To me, that's amazing. That's kind of my first point. And here's the thing. By the way, I'm now typing all these out because I have to type them out or I'm going to lose my train of thought. And so maybe at some point in the future, we can take some of these things, if you would do that too, maybe, and just type up some notes, we'll put them out there, make them available, and you can read through them. I don't know, they're just my thoughts, right? But I got them down here, so why not? Okay. I kept writing, I said, in response to Jesus' call, Saul's response was one of instant humility. He had all of this bravado, some guys going with him, armed with a bunch of letters, probably a knife or a sword. I mean, he's going to kill people. He's going to go arrest them. He's going to go put them in chains and drag them back. By the way, men and women. That was pulled out. He wasn't going to discriminate. This wasn't just I'm going to go after all the men and we'll quash this thing. He was like, anybody. We will end this. All of that bravado. And then there goes the light. A light shines down from heaven. And we're not talking about like the interrogation light that you see in old movies, right? You know, they turn on the bald light and they put it in the guy's face. That's not what we're talking about. This is so much light. This is the light of Christ. So much light that in its presence, there is nothing you can do but fall on your face. Laura and I were talking about this in the car yesterday as we were driving to and from Cincinnati for the sole purpose of shopping at a grocery store. Jungle Gyms. Amazing store. I could just wander it for hours and look at all the wonderful foods from all over the world. Okay. We were talking about this. We were talking about this idea that in the light of Christ, nothing can stand. Everything is laid bare. Everything is known. There is no hiding. There is no keeping sin dark. It's just you realize that compared to the light that you are in, you are darkness. In our sin, that's where we are. And even Saul, with all this bravado, I am going to do. Do you ever think about this from Saul's perspective? He was doing what he thought was right for his Jewish order religion process. He was working for God. He thought he was working for God. You ever think about that? He was a Jew doing that work. That's what was commanded. What they were saying was blasphemous. For those who didn't understand, it was blasphemy. Blasphemy is met with death. You don't talk against God. He thought he was right. And then in the light of Christ, the only thing he could do is fall flat on his face. All of that bravado gone. Everything gone. In humility, boom, down. His response was pretty amazing. He didn't grab out his sword and start shouting at the sky. He fell down to the ground. Because in the light of Christ, there is no hiding. Everything is laid bare. And we start to see ourselves very differently. Apart from Christ, unworthy. In Christ, made worthy. So I wrote down here, I said, what more could Saul do than fall down and then obey? Did he have another choice? Do you think he actually had another choice? When confronted with Christ in that way, did he have another choice? I don't think there was another choice. I think having that kind of encounter, all you can do is be humble and obey. And he did, right? I said he didn't go home and study. He didn't go and do like homework and research. He didn't call up all of his friends and say, hey, you know, this light from heaven came down and I heard this voice. Should I do it? Should I not? Should I just wait? Should I just wait like and maybe let God confirm it for me like 8 times before I jump at the chance to go and do something? He went and he obeyed. Boom. Just like that. His response was really amazing. He was blinded, right? And Laura and I read about this too. Matthew Henry commentary, by the way, is really good. If you get an opportunity to just read some commentary, Matthew Henry, fantastic. Okay. So I wrote a few notes. He was blinded, and I said maybe to highlight how blind he had been to the truth. Right? Maybe there was significance to the 3 days. Maybe just to bring him to a lowly place and to humble him. Because he was so haughty in spirit before. And basically, the blindness made him rely on other people. He couldn't do anything at that point. He was no longer in charge. But Ananias comes, prays over him, receives the Holy Spirit, scales fall off, he was baptized, then he had lunch. He had not eaten for 3 days. I don't know about you, I get really hangry. Or it's like, yes, yes he does. I get really hungry, angry. Saul hadn't eaten for 3 days. Ananias comes, prays over him. First thing that he does, he doesn't ask Ananias, hey, do you got a sandwich or something? Before we get started, can I just eat a little? Or, oh, I haven't done much, my hair's a mess. No, Ananias comes, lays hands on him, prays for him. He receives the Holy Spirit. He goes and gets baptized. Then he goes and eats and regains his strength. He had his priorities right. One encounter with Christ and his priorities are right. He recognizes the authority at this point. And then it's fun to read, right? So he ate and regained his strength. He stayed for a few days and immediately began preaching about Jesus. He didn't go to seminary. He started preaching about Jesus. It's the Son of God. Everything that he had fought against, he was now fighting for. And his message was so amazing, was so filled with the Spirit, that the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute it. He was able to point out, A, B, A, B, A, B, therefore, Christ is who he says he was. Christ is God's Son. What are you going to do with that? And they're like, it all makes too much sense for me. We should probably kill you. That to me is amazing. That to me is another story or another example about how God's going to equip you to do the work that he has for you. Okay? Through his Spirit, but I would contend for Saul, through all of his previous study, all of his past experiences have led into this moment where now he has all of this history, all of this knowledge, but now it's seen differently through the light of Christ, and he can say, I know what you're going to say. You're going to tell me that Christ can't be who he says he is because of this, that, and the other. Well, have I got news for you? I know this, that, and the other, and seen through the light of Christ, here's the revelation. Here's the truth. Everything in his past used for God's glory. How many people ever feel like they have a past that's so checkered that they can't be used for God's glory? I got news for you. God will use it all for his glory. God will use it all for his glory. Every experience. Every experience. God will use it for his glory. We've been prepared. In our life, we've been prepared. It's up to us to step out. It's up for us to go and do it. It's up to us to receive the Spirit, to be in the light of Christ and interpret everything, refute any argument, not because we have the right words, but because Christ has empowered us to do so. That's only point one. I have 3 minutes left. Two, really. Okay. So that's Saul. Let's go to Ananias. Because he got a call as well, right? So you would agree, right, that Saul got a call. Yeah? I mean, it's hard to miss. Light from heaven, booming voice. People like, I hear a voice, but I don't see anybody. Saul got a call, but so did Ananias. I would say that Saul didn't recognize the voice at first. Because he's like, who are you? And of course, Jesus identifies himself. I'm Jesus, the one you've been persecuting. Right? But there's another sermon in there, by the way, right? When you undergo persecution, you're not being persecuted. Christ is being persecuted. We're just the instruments. We're just God's chosen instruments. He even says, I will show Saul how much he will suffer for me. You know? It's gonna happen. It's okay. The battle is won. We have strength and confidence in that. So Ananias gets a call, right? It's just one word. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias! Yes, Lord, I'm here, present. I need you to go over to Straight Street to the house of this guy. There's another guy there who's blind. He's a guy from Tarsus named Saul. I need you to go pray over him so he can receive the Holy Spirit. And what's Ananias' response? Probably the one more common to us today. I think you got it wrong, God. Let me explain a few things to you, Lord, Creator, Savior. Let me explain a few things to you because I just don't think you fully understand. You don't get the situation. But I'll make it clear to you. That's what Ananias does. Isn't this the guy that's been killing us? Are you sure you're right? Very different kind of response. Now, at the end of the day, I'm not going to pick on Ananias so much because that's me as well. Are you sure this is right? You sure you need me to go and talk to my neighbor about whatever? Are you sure you need me to go and knock on the door and pray with someone? Are you sure you need me to stand up here and speak? But at the end of the day, he does it. Lord says, go. Right? It's like he asked politely the first time, please go over to Straight Street. There's somebody there I need you to pray over. Okay? Awesome. Your Uber's coming. It'll take you right there. Okay? Second time, go. How many times as parents do we want to do that, right? Hey, I need you to, you know, go and pick up some sticks and blah, 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 blah. Well, it's really hot. Go. Just do it. And so he does. Both were obedient. Just had a slightly different path of getting there. I think that highlights for me, our response just needs to be, yep. Let's do this. Let's go. Because here's the thing. We don't see what God sees. We don't see the whole picture, but he does. We see our little part in it, and our job is to simply be obedient and do our part in it. Because God's will is going to be accomplished with or without us. His will be done. We have that privilege, that opportunity to step in and through faith be part of that work. And that's amazing. So another question, when do you find yourself trying to correct God? I think that's a good question. What circumstances do we find ourselves trying to correct God, to tell him how it really is? You just don't get it. I think we can all answer that question because I guarantee you we've all done it. Because in our human nature, we do those things. I have a point three. We can explore point three in our discussions, but I'll give it a little bit of a background. I said, I don't know if Ananias could accept that God can change hearts. I think he had written Saul off as the enemy. And we don't have anything to do with the enemy. So I wrote, when have you written off someone as unworthy or unacceptable? When have you become their judge? And I think we all have an answer for that as well. Because I think we can all get really judgy. When have you written someone off? Oh, that person. Do you see how they live? They could never serve the Lord. They're not worth my time. God, you just don't know. If God can take fervently against and change that to fervently for, then God can work miracles in any heart. It's not up to us to be the one like Ananias who says, I'm not not sure you know what you're doing. We just need to be the ones that say, yeah, you're asking me to go do this, I'll go do it. Don't know if I understand, but I'll go do it. And I guarantee you, Ananias, when he saw the scales fall off of Saul's face and he baptized and he saw the fervor with which Saul now preached the gospel, you know, he sat back and he was like, that's really cool. I had a hand in that. You know it. That's human nature. You know he was like, oh, this is awesome. So awesome that a couple thousand years later, we're reading about him. That's awesome. So I want to explore some of these things. I want to explore this in discussions. So we're going to meet in discussions. We're going to have maybe 1, 2, 3 groups, and I'll let the group leaders go sit, and then you just join a group, right? You can hang out for another 25, 20 minutes, grab a little coffee, sit down around a table, and chat. Maybe you talk, maybe you just listen, okay? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your word. We love the fact that we can see your hand at work through these scriptures, and we see that you can work in mighty and amazing ways. Father, as you speak to us throughout our days and years, Lord, I pray that when we respond, Father, that we recognize your voice, Lord, but that we also respond with a yes, here am I, let's go. Help us to be part of your story, part of your work. Lord, we trust you and we have faith that you have justified us, that you have saved us from our sin, Father. Let us not lose faith when you then ask us to go and do things. Let us be bold and courageous. Let us go and be empowered by your Spirit to go and do the things that you call us to do. Lord, so we can smile and we can say, wow, God worked through me. All praise to God. And we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for an opportunity to talk to each other. We thank you for an opportunity to share. Lord, and we look forward to what you're going to do in the days and weeks and months ahead in our lives. And we give you thanks and praise, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Awesome. So, yeah. That's fine.